too, right? Or was it? On, we've been dealing with God in the creation of the Word, bringing the Word to the light of us inside the creation. And we've really been dealing with Him in creation. Today, we're going to try to move on off of creation into His names. And one thing that God did throughout from Genesis on, He tried to reveal Himself through His name. Now, I want y'all to really understand what I just said. God revealed Himself through His names. And every name that He presented unto the people, it was who He was at the moment where they was in distress or where they needed to see Him the most. So they never up to the cross or up to the Gospels, rather, seeing the fullness of God. And all the names in the Old Testament was just a portion of Him. Jesus is actually His name in the fullness of the Word. Y'all got me? That's why it's a three-part of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him in His fullness. When you use the name Lord Jesus Christ, you bring every being in that He ever presented to mankind, and you wrap it all up into the triune of His name, and you present it and say, okay, whatever you need is now in this name. There, I want people to, you know, you can say Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with just saying Jesus, but if you were to really want to know the fullness of Him, you really need to understand, and we're going to talk about it later, I don't want to get into why He called Him Lord Jesus Christ, or why was it Christ Jesus, because it's a similarity of all three parts of Him. The Lord represented the creative force of the Word that was inside Genesis. Jesus represented the salvational peace. Christ represented the resurrection or the anointed one part, which is the Holy Spirit. So whenever you deal with it, if you were to put all three of them together, it brings more than just Jesus. But there's nothing wrong just saying the name of Jesus. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, let me repeat that one more time. There's nothing wrong with just saying Jesus, right? Because there's no other name in heaven where men can be saved except for. Because salvation came underneath of who? All right. We're going to get into the rest. We're going to get into all of that later on. I don't want to get into that much. So what we're going to deal with, I'm going to go to some of them really quick because some of them is really, they just got some titles on them, like Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew word, just mean God. That's all it is. It's just God. Adonai. Adonai means Lord or Master. That's where we get Lord from when Lord Jesus Christ is Adonai. Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-I. And one we're going to deal with a little bit tonight is going to be El Elyon. And this is the God of the Most High or the Most Exalted God. Turn to Genesis, the 14th chapter. What we're going to do in our series, we're going to take every story and we're going to reveal God in every story of how He wants us to understand Him in every story. We're not going to read more into it than what we need. I just want to know every bits and pieces of God. And then we're going to tie them in when we get to the cross of Jesus, how in Him is all of these names, and in Him is all of what these name details or to carry with it, okay? Now, in the Old Testament, naming your child or naming a place of worship or the name that God present was so important and so crucial. It describes the characteristic of the being or the place. It was the experience that individual went to that name that they presented it to mankind or to humanity had to be the name that God wanted to be. Do y'all remember when Was it Abraham? No, Jacob. You remember when Jacob and Rachel, and when she died, she wanted to name her child Benoni, son of my sorrow. And then the father walked on the scene and said, you're not going to name him Benoni. She wanted to name him what? Was she? Exactly. Yeah. She wanted to name him, but it was okay because that's how most of the names went forth, is what you endured that time. But Jacob seen something more powerful that he would not allow it. He called him son of my what? My right hand. Son of my right hand, or my right hand means authority or strength. So how did he derive to the point of naming him Benjamin when his wife just died? Some of y'all women like, oh, he didn't love him, right? He had another one, so it didn't make a difference. He still had Leah. But who did he love more than anything? So even he come to the conclusion, even through the suffering and the pain, that there's something beautiful that came out of this with so much purpose that the devil tried to kill it before it came forth. So this individual that came forth through the suffering and through the trials and the tribulation that my wife endured during labor and pain is going to be somebody that God can use with strength, power, and authority. So he received a revelation. Who got some oil? I'm seeing it more and more turns. I'm seeing it. So that's where we got to understand. We got to be careful what we name a situation, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. He refused to speak death in his child life, and he wanted to speak greatness, so he decided to name him Benjamin. So every time God used or identified himself in the Old Testament or revealed himself in the Old Testament, he revealed them to patriarchs when they was going through something so they can see a glimpse of who he is. In other words, God did not just reveal himself when things was well. He always revealed himself to the old patriarchs when things was rough, or they needed to see God, or they needed to know who he was. God do not reveal himself to us when things are going well. Today's church think that he does. That only when things well is when God is on the scene. God likes to rebuild himself when you really need to see him. I feel like teaching tonight. God just really wants to show. So we really got this backwards. So what we're going to do every time throughout the next weeks, that we rebuild a name to you, that you need to look at the name. We're going to go through the stories. We're going to take our time with it. And we're going to find out, like Elion, why is he calling him the Most High God through this, or the Most Exalted One? Elion, there is no other God with him that can be exalted above him. Why? What's in the story that shows him and shows us that he is the God that is the Most High God? Let's read. Let's start with, it's a lot of reading. So if you're going to read, y'all know a lot of these stories. I'm not going to stop through these stories. We'll probably do a quick synopsis of it because I would like to get two or three of them done tonight, okay? Let's go to 14 chapter, first verse.
Genesis 14, 1. Okay, Genesis 14, 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amphrel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, y'all gotta help me out. Shedalamar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bershar, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemabar, king of Zemabam, and the king of Bela, which is Zor. All these joined together in Baal of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years served with, said it again? Shedalamar. In the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Shedalamar and the kings that were with them and smote the say that. What's that? Rephaim's and the Ashtaroth's, Carnames and the Zuzim's and Ham and the Amnim's and Shava, Carithium's and the Horites and their Mount Sur unto Elparan, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Mizpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar.
Wow.
And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboam and the king of Bela, the same as Zor, and they joined the battle with them in the Vale of Siddim with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amphorel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they remained fled to the mountains. And they took the gods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way.
Okay. Now, the reason why I needed her to read the Kings, there was a whole lot of them, wasn't it? Y'all have to understand what was going on in this story. You had everybody that was around about him fighting and in war. In the midst of it, they joined forces. They went after Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot, his nephew, was down there with them. So he did not have anyone else to lean to on the earthly realm. It was just him and his household. In his household, there was not soldiers and war bearers. In his household, there was servants. I could preach this message. There was servants. There was maids, butlers, farmers, tillers. That's it. They didn't have no weapons of war. They had picks, axes, shovels, rolling pins, dishes, forks, and little knives that they cut the food with. They had a couple of hunters in the midst. That's all he had. Do y'all remember when he and his wife entered into the town and he made her say that she was his cousin? Sister. Because he did not want them to know that that was his wife, because he felt that they were going to kill him and take his wife. You know, she was a pretty woman, wasn't she? I'm telling you, she had to have been, wow. So I got to put you on the story. Now let's go.
12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed.
They didn't take anything of Abraham. They took Lot and everything Lot had. So now Lot's army's gone, or his servants are gone. It's just Abraham. Go ahead.
And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Merom, and the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Anar, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan.
Hold up. He armed his trained
servants.
Y'all missed it. All they knew how to do was what? That's it. They wasn't fighters. They knew how to please Abraham. He trained them how to please him. not 5,000, not 10,000, but 318. He's going to war with five kings and an army with 318 servants and God. We forgot that, didn't we? Come on.
And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot.
He divided them. He went around them. He, at nighttime, he smoked them and brought back all of the goods and Lot. With 318 trained servants and
God.
Don't forget God. Come on.
And his goods, and the women also, and the people.
I love that.
17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God.
So now I'm beginning to understand this whole movement now. Now Melchizedek was the priest of the
Most High God.
The one that there's no other higher than him. Was he this God, Abram's God? At this time, was he Abram's God? Look at somebody and say, nope.
Because he wasn't Abraham yet, right?
He knew about him. He wasn't in covenant relationship with him yet. All he told him is to get thee out of that country, away from your kinfolks, and I'm going to bless you. And I'm a curse those that curse you. They was in relationship, but they wasn't in covenant. There is a difference. It's like you knowing God now, but you're not in full covenant with him. He knew about God, but he was not his God like he was Melchizedek God. Y'all got what I'm trying to say? I'm coming somewhere with this, okay? Only thing he had an encounter with God, not a relationship. The problem we having is we think an encounter is a relationship. He never had a back and forth relationship. God gave him a promise in the 12th chapter what he was going to do for him, but yet Abraham have yet to give God anything. Only thing God did was give him a promise. The relationship starts in the 15th chapter after the 14th chapter transforms over from encounter into a relationship status. Only thing he knew that there was a God out there, and when he see Melchizedek come in, that Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. Now, I'm going to teach y'all tonight, if it's okay, right? What do a priest do? I'm going to teach y'all something that's not in the scripture. Tell me what a priest do. Somebody better open your mouth and tell me what a priest do. What do a priest do? What is a priest's job? A priest tell the people about who? Okie dokie, that's what a priest does. A priest tells me about what? I'm in the form of a priest. I'm going to tell any individual out here about who God is, right? Why you think the priest came down with bread and wine? What is bread and wine? Can somebody say the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a natural. Come on, y'all. Oh, my gosh, I got to teach y'all. He came down to commune with Abram and to feed him the first glimpse in the Bible of the word, which is the bread, and the blood, which is the wine. And so Abram and Melchizedek communed here, and Melchizedek told him all about this God that helped him to this ordeal. What was his job? Priest. How you think he knew about it? He didn't see him. He just heard him. I told you, God at this point in time is revealing naturally his word, not hearing. The first reveal was the bread and the wine to show that this God who he has promised is now here in the what? Flesh. Flesh and blood. Bread and wine. Body and blood. Y'all got it? They sit down. What do we do with bread and wine? Come on. New Testament. We're doing bread and wine. Commune. Or take communion. What was the Last Supper? What did he do? No, tell me the whole story in the Last Supper. What happened at the Last Supper?
He sat down with them.
He sat down with them and broke bread, drank wine, and said that this is the last time I'm going to do with you until we what? That ain't it. What else did he do? He foretold of not only his death, but the betrayal of, that was communion. I'm a firm belief that I don't think we go to the level of communion where we need to. But I don't want to go there tonight. Mm-hmm. I think communion should be more deeper than what we're putting it out to be. If he broke bread and told about their betrayal and about what he was going to do and he was coming back, his whole thing was to reveal his plan to the 12 disciples so he wouldn't lose them. Because I'm going away and you ain't going to see me. And I know you need to see me, but let me tell you, but you still ain't going to stick around, some of y'all, because you need to see. It's the revealing of the word which keeps all of us here. So he was the priest of the Most High. How did we come to the conclusion that he was the priest of the Most High? Who told Abraham that he was the priest of the Most High? Somebody said Melchizedek. Let's go.
19. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God."
Now, that's where we're kicking it now. See the relationship. Not only am I a priest of the Most High God, blessed be Abram.
Of the Most High God.
You my brother. That's why we're communing. Because God showed you what he can do with you, and you are blessed. Not only now do I serve him as priest, I'm telling you about he's the same one that helped you out. And how I know you blessed, because you came through and fought all of these men with 318 trained servants and my God, the Most High God. I know that you couldn't have done it on your own or with 318 trained servants. You had to have God on your side. So let me explain to you what happened to you yesterday. It was God and only God that brought you out, and there's only one God, and there's nobody higher than him. The priest ministered to Abram and told Abram who he was. It's just like everybody or somebody ministered to you and told you, "Well, you know, I got my..." No, let me explain something to you now. It was God who brought you out of that. It was God that brought you in it. It is God that is causing you not to do what you're doing to others and keeping your mind. God loves you. I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. How do I know? Because he brought you through all of that. Because I'm the priest of the Most High God. I'm telling her about the Most High God, and I'm telling her that is the Most High God that took care of her. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing today? The first priest had a down pack, didn't he? So God was revealing to himself that there was nobody higher than him. And he did it by revealing to him and put him in a situation where it was unthinkable for him to get out of it. I just want to know, what was Abram thinking about going down there with 318 trained servants? It was his loyalty to Lot that always put him in a bind. But sometimes it's okay to be loyal to people because they'll teach you who God is. Why y'all think God wanted him? Why did he pick him out of everybody else? Hunt somebody and say, what you do before you know God. He was faithful to his. So God said, if you're faithful enough to go down with 318 trained servants who are faithful to you, I'm going to make you the father of. Come on now. Because if you can teach your trained servants to fight and they trust you that much, and you that faithful to somebody that you know that's always in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you still going to go down there and get him, I can use you. So I can't let no harm or danger come to you. I'm going to go down there with you, and I'm going to reveal how powerful is the Most High God, or Elion. You got to like it, don't you? Let's go.
Verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands.
See? Do y'all understand that this is, he didn't know this until Melchizedek told him? I never looked at it this way before I studied this. Because I was like, why are you talking about he the Most High God? Why are you revealing the Most High? He didn't know. Keep on.
And he gave him tithes of all.
That now it makes sense why he turned around and gave him a tenth of everything that he captured. You don't bless me by revealing to me who helped me. I got to give you something in me. Oh, come on, y'all. Keep on.
And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth.
Keep on.
That I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Ashkoth, Mamre, that let them take their portion.
Did y'all catch that? He brought me through this. I don't want you to say that you did anything with the Most High God. I respect him enough that you can have whatever you want to have. I believe if he did it once. Amen. Let's go to Genesis, the 17th chapter, the first verse. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. Or, I like to say, the sustainer. Amen? The sustainer. Let's go.
Genesis 17, 1. Mm-hmm. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations.
That's it. I need somebody to look up in you. What? Okay, I got it. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of multitudes or many nations. In other words, at this point in time, God revealed to him that he can sustain his life even when he's not there. That this thing is almighty is a weak term for El Shaddai. It means that sustainer or the ability to continue on when the source is no longer given, being Abraham. Did y'all miss me? Did y'all catch what I'm saying? In other words, what he's saying is, Abraham, you 99. I already know right now that you ain't got too many more years in you, but don't you worry about this. I'm the Lord God Almighty. All I need is to take one thing from you, on one event from you, and that is you just put a seed one time, into your wife. Just one. And I will call that one time to become mighty or to sustain or to increase beyond your understanding. Y'all got to catch this. It was not about having five to choose from like it was when David was chosen as king, because he was the best of all the sons that he had. There was only one choice here. And I'm going to make sure you get old enough that you won't creep in and get another one after this. Because I'm a God that likes to take one and make many. Y'all missing it. Then it's no longer you that has produced this. It's the mightiness that I have inside of me that you can take one and make a multitude. Y'all missing this. So I'm going to reveal to you what I can do. I don't want Ishmael, that he's not pure enough for me to handle. That was yours. You conjured that one up. You did that one on your own. That was your works. I don't want your works. I don't want nothing. I want someone that is burned. I want another one that is old, shriveled up, and does not have the ability to do it. I'm going to strengthen you up one time. And I'm going to take that one time and call might to come not only in you. It's going to be strong enough to bust through the barrenness of your wife and produce one seed. I don't need to use you that much. I just want to use just a little bit of you, and I'm going to do the rest. Because I'm going to show you I'm the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I don't need all of you. I don't need 10,000 of you. All I need is one. God only needs one to be mighty. Hallelujah. Just one. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, the sustainer, that's going to make this covenant with you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it so sweet. That when I make this covenant with you, I'm going to make it with you just standing there. So I'm so powerful, I'm going to speak it and answer it for you. I just need you to be present while I do it. Do y'all understand when El Shaddai comes on the scene? He just need us to stand there and watch him do it all. Hallelujah. So let me reveal to you, since you now have acknowledged that I'm powerful, and you acknowledge that there's no other God like me, and you done blessed me, and I know that you got faith to move what I'm ready to do. All I need you to believe, not in yourself, but believe in me. I don't need you to believe that you can do it. I don't need you to go to the gym. I don't need you to go take any pills. Don't worry about it. If you believe what I'm about ready to tell you, I'll accomplish all I need. And then all I need you to do is just get up and do it. The revealing of God to us today Some of us are doing too much. Hallelujah. El Shaddai can't even come on the scene because we won't stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We want to do too much. Every once in a while, you got to let God be God. What are you doing, Pastor? Nothing. Why you ain't doing nothing? Because God said he want to be God. El Shaddai here, you can't see him. He just wants me to sit around here and watch him. Okay, you got that? All right. Mm-hmm. I just need you here. Just need to see that you here. Just need your eyes here. Okay. Elohim. Genesis 21. E-L-O-L-A-M. L-L-L-E-O-N. E-L-Y-O-N. E-L-E-E-L space E-L-Y-O-N. What did I say? 21, 22.
Genesis 21:22. And it came to pass at that time that Amalek and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, that thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Amalek because of a well of water.
Well, you know, we have to, that's what I was thinking too. I'm sorry, y'all. Because y'all don't know this. Go to the 20th chapter. I apologize. Because you got to know the story. I told you a little bit of the story, but you may want to read this. The 20th chapter of Genesis, first verse. Because they got to know what this comes from. Go ahead.
And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Amalek, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Amalek in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife.
Keep on.
But Amalek had
Hold
not.
On. Did the man do anything wrong? No. But he was a dead man. Did the dead man do anything wrong? Evidently he did. Let's go.
But Amalek had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hand have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yeah, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against thee, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore that the man's his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.
So he was gone. In other words, let me express this to y'all. What he said, if Abraham don't pray for you, you dead. But if he pray for you, you're going to live. My gosh. And he didn't do anything what? How much did God love Abraham? Read on.
Therefore, Amalek rose early in the morning and called all of his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. Then Amalek called Abraham and said unto him,
this is my favorite part.
What hast thou done unto us? what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not be done. And Amalek said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done these things? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake.
He was just concerned about Yeah. Let's go.
And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God called.
Did he lie? No. It was his sister, but it was his wife, too. It was, what was she first? He just forgot to mention the part that there was wives, too. Let's go.
And it came to pass when God calls me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Amalek took sheep and oxen and men servant and women servant and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Amalek said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she is reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Amalek and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord has fast closed all the wombs of the house of Amalek because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
Keep on. Now go to the 22nd verse.
22.
21:22.
Yep. Genesis 21:22.
Yeah.
And it came to pass at that time that Amalek and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, that thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein that thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Amalek because of a well water, which Amalek's servants had violently taken away. And Amalek said, I wot not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Amalek, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs of flock by themselves. And Amalek said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs that which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shall thou take my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore we call this place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Amalek rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days.
Everlasting God, eternal God, a long duration, continuing existent, indefinite future. When Abraham dug the well there, he realized after this whole experience that he had life with God, and the life with God could not be taken away. I told you God made a covenant with himself according to Abraham. Now, I asked you a question, was he your sister? Yeah. But was Abraham all the way true? Did Abraham did wrongly, and God still blessed him? God revealed that his covenant with him was everlasting, unchangeable, and no make a difference what you do, Abraham. I'm still going to bring you, and I'm still going to bring that covenant that I said into fullness. This is a prime example of when we mess up, and God still bless us. The everlasting Father, he stands behind not you, like he didn't stand behind Abraham. What did he stand behind? The covenant. What is a covenant? An everlasting agreement that he made with himself concerning Abraham. So what it is, when he planted a grove there, and the grove was supposed to live on from generation to generation. And I love Abimelech. Abimelech said, I'm going to catch on to this. I see that you are everlasting man, and I see that you serve an everlasting God. So we're going to make this agreement now, and we're going to make sure my kids, even when I'm gone, is going to still fall underneath the same agreement that me and you make now. And Abraham says, sure. So I'm going to dig this well, and you're going to give you 7 sheep, and we're going to make this all be known that it's okay. Isn't that incredible? So Abimelech was the first one that said that if I latch on to somebody that's underneath a covenant, I can reap off of that covenant that they have with God. If I learn to be a friend to you, and when you got a covenant with God, I'm going to receive the blessing like you are. Because whoever you bless, Abraham, shall be. Whoever you curse, shall be. And I see that because when you cursed me, I was dead, man. And when you came to bless me, I'm a blessed man. So I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to get next to you. And I'm going to make an agreement with you in that you serve an everlasting God and you serve me for an everlasting covenant. Me and you going to make an everlasting covenant, a need for you and your God, everlasting covenant, and it's going to go on from generation to generation. It ain't going to break. Hallelujah. This is the covenant or the bloodline that Jesus come through, the everlasting God. Everlasting covenant, everlasting future. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, for your word, how powerful it was tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for every individual that came here tonight to partake in his word with us. We ask you to continue to be with us as we come to see you again on Sunday. Continue on to bless our sister Gail. Continue to heal her body, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.